Words are forceful, but there's something even more forceful than words. Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
The power of what Jesus did on the cross broke the power of every curse in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you won't get cursed, but it means that there's a power of God's blessing that is greater than that curse.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Monday, October 24th, 2016. I remember when I was little, someone told me I walked like a monkey. I think they meant it to be cute, but I remember it even to this day. Even if they're not true, the things others say can stick with us and affect our lives for years. But there's a way to be free. Nancy will talk about it this week in a series called Overcoming the Curse of Words.
A few days ago, I received an email from a friend who I've known quite well for many years. But in this email, she shared with me a part of her life that I was not aware of. And my spirit was just kind of crushed as I read something more of her story than what I'd heard before. And isn't it true that in most of our lives, there's more to our story than what people know, even if they think they know us well? And as I look around here today, I know that many of you have become dear friends, and I know parts of your story, and you know parts of mine. But the truth is, there are things behind those facades that all is well. There are parts that aren't well. And my friend said, I've spent a lifetime trying to overcome the abusive and insulting words that were hurled at me on a daily basis from my parents and my sister. I was called dummy, stupid, idiot, and names that I would not repeat. If I asked a question, I was a dummy. Or if I made a mistake, I was stupid. The list goes on, and those words have left a deep mark in who I am. She said, to this day, my mother can devastate me with insults and cruel comments. Last year when I visited my parents, it was so horrible that I spent the entire next month fighting suicidal tendencies. So she says, here I am, a grown woman, mother and grandmother, still in pain from the lack of compassion and love that I so need from others. The curse of words can be really powerful, can it? Words that are spoken by others to us, or sometimes even words that we may speak to ourselves, that are intended to inflict harm or damage, to belittle us, to wish us evil. Let me ask you to turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to have us look at a story in the life of King David. It illustrates the power of words and the curse of words and how to respond to the curse of words. Now, to put this in context, David is the king of Israel, and yet his own son has made a claim to the throne, is trying to usurp the throne, has rebelled against the king, and David is now having to flee for his life from his own son. And a man named Shimei comes up as David and his men are fleeing. And we pick up in verse 5 of 2 Samuel 16, which says, when King David came to Bahurim, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Now, just stop there for a moment. This man was a distant relative of King Saul. Who was King Saul? He was the king who preceded King David. And David had waited for years for God to overthrow King Saul, which in fact did happen, and then David took the throne. So here's a man from Saul's family who's angry that David has now taken the throne. His name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and as he came, he cursed continually. Now, the Old Testament word for cursing doesn't necessarily mean profanity or bywords. It has to do with speaking words that are intended to inflict damage. Words that are harmful, words that belittle and demean. He was speaking ugly words intended to be destructive to David. He cursed continually. Verse 6, and he threw stones at David, This is now not only cursing, but physical abuse, and it's relentless. It's going continually. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men that were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. Some of your translations say, you son of Belial. It's a phrase that means you good for nothing. It's an ugly term. Get out of here. You worthless thing, you good for nothing. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. So here's David, already down and out. Now he's experiencing cursing, physical abuse, relentless, continual. And it's all false accusations. David wasn't the one who overthrew King Saul. He could have. He had some good opportunities to do it, but he refused to do it. Instead, God had overthrown him. But Shimei is mocking David and saying that God is avenging the death of Saul by driving David from power. As you read these words, perhaps you think of words that have been spoken to you. Words that were ugly, words that were hurtful, words that were harmful, words that wounded you. And maybe words that were totally or at least partially undeserved. You're so clumsy. You'll never amount to anything. You never. You can't. You're just like, you'll never change. You'll be just like your mother. You'll never find anyone to love you. Think of a friend who told me recently of how when she just made a childish mistake as a little girl, her father looked at her and said, drop dead. You worthless thing. You good for nothing. Let me say that being a child of God doesn't make you immune to the cursing of others. Sometimes others do curse us in the sense of speaking these hurtful, harmful, belittling words. And sometimes God doesn't keep them from doing it, though he could. Sometimes God lets this happen. It's a cursed world. It's a fallen world. And sometimes God lets that just be lived out. And some of you, perhaps all of us here, have experienced at some time or another that God didn't stop people from saying things to us that just were like a knife. They wounded. They inflicted enormous damage. You may not be able to stop it from happening. But the key is how we respond to that cursing, what we do with it. And what happened next here in 2 Samuel 16, we see two different ways to respond to cursing that comes upon us. The first way is the way that Abishai responded. He was David's bodyguard and his nephew. He knew the attack was not justified. He was defending his uncle David. And he demonstrated the way of responding to cursing that comes most naturally. He says in verse 9 to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and take off his head. So what does he do? He curses back. You called my uncle a good for nothing? Well, you're a dead dog. I mean, just like the worst thing you could think of to say. And we're not gonna take this lying down. Let me go over and destroy him. Now, the penalty for cursing the king, that was a capital offense. So what he was really saying was, give him what he deserves. He cursed you, you curse him back. Destroy him. Decapitate him. But David demonstrates a different way of responding. And by the way, let me say that in Abishai's response, do you see yourself at all? Maybe you never said those words, off with your head. But you ever think them? You dead dog. Giving it back, cursing for cursing. You'll get what you deserve. I'll give you what you deserve. Now, we may do it a little more subtly, but we often do it nonetheless. That's what comes naturally. But David demonstrates in his response a supernatural way of responding to cursing. The king said in verse 10, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah? If he is cursing because the Lord has said to him, curse David, who then shall say, why have you done so? Verse 11, leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today. Now, David's response is birthed out of a theology. And our responses to life are always born out of a theology. What is theology? You say, I'm not a theologian. Oh, yes, you are. Theology is just your view of God, what you think about God. We all have a theology. And if you view God as a vindictive God, then your theology will dictate that you become a vindictive person. If your theology doesn't understand the grace and the mercy of God, then you will not extend grace and mercy to those who sin against you. But David has a theology, a view of God, a way of thinking about God that enables him to respond to cursing in a totally unnatural or supernatural way. What is David saying? Leave matters in the Lord's hands. God can handle this. He couldn't be cursing me if God didn't let him do it. In fact, maybe God has sent this man into my life because God knows there's something I need to hear. And I would say, by the way, that some of the things that have hurt me most deeply, that have been said to me over the years, that I reacted to, that hurt me the most, some of those things I've looked back on and I found out there was a kernel of truth that God wanted to use to sanctify me. But because I so reacted to the untruth or to the extreme or negative or harsh way that it was said, I missed out on something that God was wanting to say to me. Now, I'm not justifying anybody talking the way Shimei did. And I'm not saying the person who cursed you did it in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. But David has room in his theology for God to be God. He's saying, in effect, I'm not going to run the universe. I can't run it. It's God's to run. So let God take care of Shimei. And God can also take care of me. God can return good to me in place of the cursing that I've received. So rather than defend himself, rather than react violently, David restrains himself. And he's able to do so because he recognizes the sovereignty of God. And it's that view of God that enables him to respond humbly and to receive Shimei's curse as from the Lord. Now, as you think back to the people who have cursed you, and maybe there's one sentence, one phrase, one person whose words just are still years later lodged in your heart and your mind. And in a sense, they're still cursing you because you're still thinking about it, still remembering it, still being affected by it today. Ask yourself, if I reacted more like Abishai did, you dead dog, off with your head. And maybe you never said those words, but is there anger, bitterness in your heart toward those who've cursed you? Or do you have a view of God that enables you to respond humbly, quietly, to be restrained, and to say, God can handle this. God will handle that person. And God can bless me in spite of what anyone else has done to curse me.
Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth will be right back with the second half of today's program. That teaching is part of the series called Overcoming the Curse of Words. To order it on CD, visit reviveourhearts.com. While you're there, you can also check out the daily transcript and listen to the archives of the program. Here's more teaching from Nancy.
I have a friend who is now a wife and a mother of several children. I was talking to me a little bit about her upbringing. She was adopted as a little girl. Her adoptive father, was involved in spiritual leadership in their church. But during her growing up years in this adoptive family, she experienced a lot of verbal and physical abuse. Finally, when she was a senior in high school, she got up the courage to go and talk to her pastor. She waited one night till the end of their youth group activities, and then she stayed afterwards to talk to the pastor, figuring that since her father was one of the leaders in this church, that the pastor would be concerned about this. And she talked to the pastor, who basically told her, you're going to have to wait it out. If you're about to graduate, just hang in there, which was not particularly encouraging to her. But then worse yet, when she got home late that night, somehow her parents had found out that she'd been talking to the minister, and they had waited up for her. And this is what she says happened when she got home. She said, "They didn't lay a hand on me, but for the next hour or so, they told me repeatedly about how much I was an embarrassment to them, that I was ugly as dirt, that they wished they had never adopted me, and that I would never amount to anything. All I remember doing is sitting there and crying. Finally, after saying those things over and over to me, they let me go to my room. I fell on my face and cried out to God and said that I couldn't take it anymore. I wanted to die." How many of you can remember something that maybe it was similar or maybe it was quite different, but something that was said to you as a child? Maybe by parents, maybe by a friend, or someone you thought was a friend, a classmate, a teacher, a sibling, something that was said to you that hurt so deeply that it just, you look back on it and you see it as a curse of words that you still remember that still affects your heart today. Let me see how many of you have that, something like that, that you can think of in your background. Most. And as I've talked with women in particular over the last several weeks working on this series, I've been amazed at how many had things that just went way back in their past that they remember as if it happened yesterday. It was so hurtful, so harmful, so damaging. And it's been something that has held on to them and in some cases been highly destructive in their lives into their adult lives. In some cases, the person who said it's not even alive any longer. But these women, and sometimes men as well, are still carrying this curse of words with them today. And as I've listened to these heart cries, and I've been in the Word of God studying this subject, I've been heavy-hearted on the one hand, because I feel so the weight of and the sadness that people should have to live with these things for all these years. And yet I've been so encouraged as I've gotten into the Scripture to find out that in the Word of God are the resources to help us break free from the curse of words. Whatever that curse may have been, however it may have been placed upon us, whoever may have placed it upon us, that there is hope, that we don't, as children of God, have to be in bondage to these curses that have been put upon us in our childhood. Some of you, it's not your childhood. Some of you, it's in your marriage. And some of you are still living in a home, and I get these emails and letters from women who are living with a cursing man. And again, let me say, we're not just talking about profanity. We're saying words that are intended to belittle, to demean, to control, to hurt. So whether you're living with it now or you remember it from your past and it still has a mark in your heart that won't go away, I believe, based on the authority of God's Word, that it is possible to overcome the power of those curses in your life. And I want to talk over these next several days about just some practical biblical principles to overcoming the curse of words in your past or in your present. Now, all these points, to help you remember them a little bit, start with the letter R. And so you may want to jot down these key points. If you don't get them all, we're going to post them on the website as a list and with some scripture verses to go with them, and you can go back and retrieve them there. But number one, if you want to overcome the curse of words in your life, realize. There's something you need to realize. There's several things you need to realize. And this is where we need to lay a foundation for our thinking. For example, you need to realize that no one can curse you apart from God's permission. We saw this in the last session when Shimei cursed King David, and David said, "Let him alone. Don't take off his head. God has allowed him to do this." Now, don't ask me to explain how God allows, why God allows, does God order it. God does not ordain sin by any means, but somehow in God's providence and in his dealings with the children of men, he allows and orders the things that come into our lives. You have to start there, and you have to realize that no one can curse you if God doesn't let them. In fact, in the book of Numbers, chapter 22, there's that whole story of Balaam, who was brought in by the king of Moab to curse the Israelites, and who tried several times to curse the Israelites, but God wouldn't let Balaam do it. And so you read Balaam saying to Balak, have I any power of my own to speak anything? The words that God puts into my mouth, that's what I must speak. And Balak comes back to Balaam and says, I wanted you to curse him, but you blessed him. Why did you do it? And he's even paid Balaam to curse the Israelites. And Balaam says, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. There is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination or evil cursing that can be spoken against Israel. That's the illustration on the other side. In David's case, God allowed Shimei to curse. In the case of Balaam and Balak, God wouldn't let Balaam curse. So realize that no one can curse you if God doesn't let them. That the most hurtful, harmful things that were said to you did not escape the notice or the attention of God. And then remember, realize that if you're a child of God, you are blessed, regardless of what others do or say to you. Something again that you need to realize, that if you're God's child, you are blessed. Others may have cursed you, but you have the blessing of God on your life if you are His child. And then realize that the blessing of God in your life is more powerful than any human curse. No matter what anyone may say to you, no matter how they may curse you, and we have some listening who have even received satanic curses or spells put upon them through satanic ritual abuse, horrible things done to little children, and there are women who are listening to this who've been through that kind of cursing. And even there, I would remind you that the blessing of God in your life is more powerful than any curse that anyone can put upon you. And one other thing you need to realize, and that is that through Christ, God has made provision to set you free from every curse. That there's no curse of words or any other kind of curse that has the power to control your life any longer if you are in Christ. The power of what Jesus did on the cross broke the power of every curse in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you won't get cursed, but it means that there's a power of God's blessing that is greater than that curse, and that that curse that comes to you has no power to overcome you. It cannot overpower you. It cannot take over your life unless you let it. That through Christ, there is the power, the provision to be free from every curse that anyone has ever or will ever put upon you. So realize those things. That no one can curse you apart from God's permission, that if you're a child of God, you're blessed in spite of any cursing that's been put upon you, that that blessing of God is more powerful than any human curse, and realize that through Christ there's the provision to be free from every curse. You say, so what do I do with these curses? Well, think about the curse that's been spoken, and having realized these foundational principles, then review the source of the words that were spoken to you. Review the source of the words. The words that others have said to you, review them in light of God's word. And ask yourself about the things that have been spoken to you that came as cursing. Is this true? Does it agree with what God says in His word? Review the things that have been said. And then reject any things that were said that are not true. Review what was said in the light of God's word. Ask yourself, is this true? And then reject any words that are not true. You see, curses that are spoken to you, if you're a child of God, only have power over you if you receive them, if you believe them, if they're not true, the things that are said, if they're not consistent with God's word, they have no power over you. What makes them powerful is when we believe them, when we receive them, when we believe things that are said about us, you'll never amount to anything. You're worth nothing. You're no good. It's when you believe those words that are contrary to the Word of God, they're not true. When you believe those words, you invest power in those words. And you know what ultimately you're doing? You're cursing yourself. That's what gives those words the power. Proverbs 26, verse 2 says, like the fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow. You watch birds up in the sky and they just dart around and here and there and they don't they get tired? They never land. sometimes it seems. And Proverbs says, like that fluttering sparrow or that darting swallow, an undeserved curse, words that are spoken that aren't true, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. It can't rest unless you say, I accept it, I believe it, I receive it. So think about the words that have been spoken. Think about a friend who told me last week when we were talking about this whole thing of blessing and cursing. She said, one instance comes to my mind immediately. She says, when I was in junior high school, I was small. I was not developed physically. And she said, we had gym class. And when we were changing for gym class and having to shower and whatever, she said, one of my little girlfriends looked at me and said, are you sure you're really a girl? She said, you cannot imagine how much that hurt. And then she said, I started to wonder, was I the first freak that God ever made on earth that maybe I really wasn't a girl? I said to her, when did you discover that you were a girl? She's a beautiful woman. She laughed and she said, I don't know when, but she said, that so hurt. And now, 40 years later, she still remembers that. That curse had power in her life as long as she received it. You know when it lost its power? When she realized it wasn't true. And she began to reject it because it wasn't true. Realize that those curses don't have to have power over you. Review where those words came from. Are they true? Compare them to God's word. Evaluate them in light of God's word. And then reject any words that aren't true. And only if you agree to receive those words will those words have any power to overcome you.
That's Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth in a series called Overcoming the Curse of Words. She'll be right back to pray. Nancy has been showing us how Jesus provides the ultimate freedom from the curse of words. When you respond in love when others speak against you, you're reflecting the beauty of the gospel to a watching world. The beauty of the gospel, that's the theme of our 2017 wall calendar. Each year, Revive Our Hearts produces a wall calendar, and this year, the quotes in the calendar are taken from Nancy's new book, Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together, which will be released in March. To see the layout and artwork, visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll send you the Adorned calendar this week when you support the ministry with a gift of any amount. Ask for the calendar when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Sometimes it feels like we're in bondage to the words spoken against us. Tomorrow, Nancy will continue showing you how to be free. I hope you can be back with us. To close Revive Our Hearts today, Nancy refers back to the story of David we heard earlier in the program. She's here to lead us in prayer.
Lord, I just want to thank you that your word teaches that curses cannot have any power over us if we're your children. And right now, in this moment, we want to affirm that truth and to acknowledge by faith that nothing that has been said to us that is contrary to your word has the power to overcome us, to overpower us, or to destroy our lives if we refuse to accept it. Help us instead to believe what you have said and to choose not to invest those cursing words with any power any longer, and instead to receive and to believe the blessing that you have spoken to us. Oh Lord, I just pray that you would set women free from the curse of words, that you would break the power of those words, that you'd break the power of that bondage that we've given to those words by receiving and believing them. That you do it here and now and in this place. Would you be setting captives free to experience your blessing? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.